it will happen that in the very place where it was said to them, you are not my people, they will be called sons of the living God.
Good morning. Whoa. Let's try that again. Good morning. I just wanted to share with you. You're making fun of my high. Let me go all the way over. There you go. I just want to share with you this morning a word in season that I really feel like the Lord has laid on my heart for. We're going to collect the prayer cards. That the Lord has laid on my heart for this particular time of year. As we all go into a new year, as we begin to evaluate what we want to see happen in this new year, I believe that it's important that we take time to realize who we are in Christ, what our place is in our relationship with God, and what God's plan is for our lives. In Jeremiah chapter 29, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." I love the part of that scripture that says, plans not to harm you. God's desire is not to send you down a road that will bring about harm in your life. In the simplest terms, if we don't understand who we are in Christ, then we're never going to be able to experience all that God has for you. The Word of God is filled with scriptures that point us to the greatness of God and the greatness of not who we are, but the greatness of who we are in Christ. I want to do an illustration here, and I'm going to need a few volunteers. We'll go right here. All you have to do, don't freak out. It's nothing hard. Right there. You, right there, if you could do me a favor and come grab this. And all the way in the back row, you in the Banger sweatshirt. If you could pass that down to her, please. It's all about perspective. It's all about perspective. I love to watch the History Channel. I love to watch the Discovery Channel. And they always have all these really cool things on about the universe and how the universe, how different things in the universe point us to what they say is the truth. But all these things in the universe point us to truths in God's Word. Now, what I'd like for you to do is I'd like for the three people who have the apples to stand up. Hold the apples in the air. Now, from where I'm standing at, which one of those apples looks the biggest from where I'm standing at? It's going to be the first one, right? It's going to be this one. So if I'm looking for something that's large, because I'm a big guy and I like apples, but if I'm looking for a large apple, I'm going to go for this one. The truth, you guys can have a seat. The truth of the matter is the apple in the back, the apple in the middle, and the apple in the front are all the same size. It's all about our perspective. And one of the things that we have to realize is if we're really going to understand what the Lord's plan is for our lives and what He wants for our lives, in God's perspective, God created man and now by the work on the cross has restored man to Himself. And as I was talking about on Christmas Eve, has come to earth in the form of Emmanuel, God intimately with us. You see, we have to understand from God's perspective, from God's creative power, things must look much different to Him than they do to us. See, our perspective is that we are a fallen people. Our perspective is that we're a people that make mistakes. Where's Boyd at? Boyd's right there. Boyd made a comment this morning that he wasn't a prayer warrior, or that you weren't someone who really, you know, that's not your thing all the time. And too oftentimes we bombard ourselves with thoughts and influences that say that we cannot accomplish what it is that God wants us to accomplish. He realizes that we're not perfect and that He accepts us exactly the way we are. We sometimes see ourselves as useless and damned. God sees us as His child. It is our perspective and how we look at our relationship with God that has to change. As a child of God, we have to realize what role we play in the kingdom. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, I am a child of God. If we would allow that truth to penetrate our life, to make root in us, we would begin to see our lives in a whole different, what's the word this morning? Perspective. And God would truly be able to do works within us that would change us, that would make us into the men and women that He desires for us to be. God loves us unconditionally, even with our sin. He made the decision to come to earth, to die on a cross, to make the love connection. Y'all remember the Chuck Willary love connection? I just thought of that. That's really weird that I'm thinking of that right now. But I can't get that out of my head now. To make the love connection between you and I. To make the love connection between us and the Creator. God's desire is to do that. We are His child. In John chapter 15, verse 15, it says that we are a disciple of Christ and that we are a friend of God. It goes on in that same passage of Scripture to say that I have been justified. God calls me His friend, and now I look to Him for significance in our relationship with Him. Have you ever noticed that people all around you seem to be looking for something? Even people who are successful, they always seem to have this drive for something more. There always seems to be this hole that they're trying to fill in their life. And the thing that I'm here to say, that the significance that we're searching for in our life can only be filled with a relationship with God. On Christmas Eve, one of the things that I said, people are always trying to find themselves. They're always trying to be self-actualized. They're always trying to look for God. They're always trying to look to fill the hole that's inside them with relationships, with their career. Do you know what that's like? That's like if there's a pothole, and you go up to a pothole, and you take a 10-pound bag of sugar and pour it in the pothole. Is that really going to do any good in firming up the pothole? Is that really what it takes to make the road worthy to drive on? Sugar's a good thing. We all love sugar, some of us more than others, but we all love sugar. But it's not what it takes to fill the hole, and it's not in what we try sometimes to fill in our life is not what it takes to fill the hole of spiritual void that we sometimes look for. Everyone is looking for significance. Those people truly aren't content because they have a deep longing and a craving inside, and they want something more. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says this, that I It says that I am united with the Lord and I am one with Him in spirit. The deep longings, the deep holes in people's lives can only be filled by a living. Here's the definition of living in this concept. A living, possessing life, not dead, not inanimate relationship with God. Did you grab that? A living, not dead, not inanimate relationship with Christ. How many people do you come across in your life that have that say that they have a relationship with Christ, but there's no fruit coming from their life? There's no truth in their relationship. I work with young people, and oftentimes you see young people when you do an invitation and make a call for salvation, they run to the altar and they're sincere in what they're coming up here to do, but they walk away, and within 2 or 3 days, they're back in the same cycle. Their relationship with Christ hasn't made a difference in their life. And that's just not a symptom of young people, but that's a symptom of all of us. If we're not diligent to work in our relationship with Him, we need to have that living relationship with Jesus Christ. Because no matter what we look for, it's not going to bring fulfillment. Before Michelle and I were here with you all in Pinardville, we were serving in a church in a town by the name of Newburgh, Indiana. Newburgh, Indiana was one of the towns in the southern part of Indiana that had one of the highest levels of wealth in the whole state of Indiana. There were kids in the high school whose parents, I'm not joking here, whose parents literally got them Porsches for their 16th birthday. Can you imagine that? I got a 72 Mercury Cougar that was blue with a pig tan top, and it had an Ooga horn. And I thought I was styling. But the thing about it is that significance cannot be found in wealth. Significance cannot be found in the things that we've acquired. Possessions have become a symbol of success rather than tools and blessings that God has given us for the work of His kingdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, it says that we have been bought with a price, and we belong to God. And everything that we have is a gift from Him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, it says, I am a member of Christ's body. I have found my significance in Him. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 through 8 says that it says, I have been chosen by God and adopted by Christ for a purpose, for a time such as this. In fact, the Bible tells us that no matter how hard we try or pretend, our surface joys will not bring us the significance that we long for. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 13, it says, I love this verse. I just found this and I love this verse. It's kind of a morbid verse, but I love this verse. It says, laughter can mask a heavy heart. When laughter ends, grief remains. Think about that. Oh, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart today. Down in my heart today. Down in my heart today. Tomorrow, I'm trying to find my Xanax because I can't handle it any longer. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your relationship with Him has to be settled on an even playing field. As we go into 2009, one of the greatest things that I can share with you at the beginning of this year is let's not make it a year of hills. Let's have a steady incline headed up. Now, granted, there's going to be valleys, but our eyes have to be on the prize. And as our eyes are on the prize, as our hearts begin to follow after what God's desire is for our lives and for the significance that we can find in Him, we begin to realize that God is a loving God and accepts us for who we are completely because we're loved by Him. Because we have our significance in God, it gives us self-worth. I can feel good about myself even when I fail. Even when we struggle, even when we fall, we can still feel good about ourselves. Why? Because God still loves us. Because He still walks with us. You might be walking in a challenge right now in your life that you think will never end. And you might be wondering, why, God, is this happening to me? He's there. He wants to hold your hand. He wants to see you through the situation. I am significant because in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, it says, I have found my completeness in Him. Unfortunately, keeping the feeling of significance is difficult, is a difficult struggle for most of us. Most of us have the wrong idea of where our self-worth comes from. Therefore, we have a false sense that of what makes up the manner of man. The Bible tells us that learning to accept and learning to understand God's unconditional love will make a huge difference in how we feel about ourselves. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 through 19, that may our roots grow down deep in the soil of God's love. Think about that. That we are planted in the soil of God's love, and God says, grow your roots deep. May we feel and understand all the love that God has for His children. How long, how wide, how deep, how high His love really is. And to experience that love for ourselves. So at last, you will be filled up with God Himself. You and I have to understand that we have direct access to the throne of grace. That we are His children. That the baggage that we see on ourselves has been paid for. God has paid a mighty price for that. And in God's eyes, it's gone. A child does not fear coming to the dinner table. Well, my child might because he's been called to the dinner table 7 times. But a child of the King does not fear being called to the dinner table. Because Abba Father is there to receive him. If you understand these concepts that we're talking about today, first it will help you grasp the wisdom necessary to overcome the painful struggles that you personally are facing. Second, and this is from an evangelistic point of view, it will help you better understand the struggles of those around you and bring about an offering of change in their lives. And thirdly, it will provide practical steps to lead us towards a richer significance in our relationship with Jesus Christ. The miraculous evolution begins and ends at the foot of the cross. It all starts with an understanding that we're a child of God. And that's where it ends. We are His. And He came so that we may have life. Amen? All right. Praise God. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before You and we thank You. We give You glory and honor and praise. And Father, we ask You in Jesus' name just to allow these words to penetrate our hearts, to penetrate our lives, to make it real in us. The Word of God, in the Greek, it's called the Rhema Word of God. And Lord, we thank You that the Rhema Word of God will be real to us. It will be tangible, and we will be able to accept that for what it is. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we're going to be coming into our time of communion.